Take your seats, please. There's two readings this morning, and if you don't have a Bible, there's some on the tables over there. You may keep them if you do not have one as our gift to you. So our first reading is from Psalms 34, verses 1 to 3, and the second is Colossians 3, 16 and 17. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. In Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Vic. And I'm going to invite you to pray as we just ask the Lord by his Spirit to take that word and plant it in our hearts today. We need the seed of the word to help us to grow and to bear fruit for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we are in awe of you. We honor you as the Lord and King, the living God. We honor you, Lord Jesus, as the living word, and we thank you for your written word, Lord, your truth that teaches us about who you are and how you are to be loved and served and worshiped. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I desperately need you. Lord, we need you. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And, Father, hearts to burn within us as you speak by your Holy Spirit to us this day. For the glory of Jesus and for the good of your work and your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I have to say it is really, really good to be with you today. I look forward to this. I am a lot at my home church, so I don't get to preach out very often, so this is a treat for me to be with you, and it very much reminds me of the church that I served at. We were in a school set up in teardown context for many years. I was on staff at Harvest Bible Chapel for 9 years, and we were in school gymnasiums my entire time there. So sympathy to the chair people who have to set up every morning early, but God bless you who come and set up sound and chairs. It's really good to be with you. I bring you greetings from South Shore Bible Church. Church is meeting now at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're praying for us as we're here. And it has just been such a joy to meet Vineeth and Roshan and Pastor Kay Savone and to get to know your team over these last number of years. And we are actually one of the furthest north CNBC churches. I think there's one that's in Sudbury, I believe, but really, you are kind of our closest neighbors, and that's not necessarily that close because we're about 70 minutes away from each other. But we sure feel connected to you, and that's really good to be here today. My wife, Alexandra, cannot be here. She's serving at our home church today, but maybe someday we can get to meet her. We are a church very much like you, this 12-year-old church, lots of young families, and our city is growing. Barrie is slated to grow by about 70 or 80,000 people, which maybe not doesn't seem too much for the GTA, but it's going to be 50% more of our population over the next number of years. And so we're excited as God brings new people to our city, how we can love and reach them. I want to show you a picture as we talk about corporate worship today. I want to ask you, do you know what this is? And probably some of you will. And, you know, do you know what is in this person's hands? And this could be a number of things. This could be like a piece of steel painted. This could be some concrete. But probably some of you know what actually it is. Do you know what it is? It's a bar of gold. It's real gold. You got it. Thank you. That was an easy one. I started with an easy one. There is something very costly in this person's hands. The question is just how costly is this? This actually is a bar of gold. It is 11 kilograms, 25 pounds. And the value of this, you may or may not know. Anybody work in the area of gold, money, finance that wants to take a guess? Somebody just tell me what, put up your hand if you want to take a guess at how much that is worth. There you go. Okay. No. 20? All right. Not close, but good try. That is worth $943,447.50. It is almost $1 million. And actually, gold just went up, so it may be even worth a little bit more than that. So in this person's hands is $1 million worth of gold. You could actually trade what is in that person's hands for a house in Barrie. That'd be kind of a cool thing, wouldn't it? So much worth in this person's hands, so much value at his fingertips. And we might not own that bar of gold, but I want to tell you today that we have something so much more valuable, so much more costly, so much more precious at our fingertips and in our hands. And what that is what we're doing right here today. It's corporate worship. It's the value and just the amazing opportunity we have. I don't know if you realize what you hold in your hands, what is at our fingertips as we come here Sunday by Sunday. This is precious and costly and beautiful and valuable. And I don't know if you come here on a Sunday morning realizing just how amazing this is, this privilege. I don't know if you realize the gift that you have, that we have together to do this every week. What are we doing when we're here? I think there's a slide that says this. We are the people of God in the presence of God, giving glory to God and receiving the grace of God. This, in a nutshell, is who we are and what we're doing. We're the people of God. We're the family of God in the presence of God, giving glory to God and receiving the grace of God. There's nothing like this anywhere else on earth. There's no event that compares to the high privilege and the high calling and the value of calling on the great and living God and being in his presence and being changed by him. And if you have been a believer for a while, if you've been coming to church for a while, we can take this for granted. We can take a lot of things in life for granted. It's kind of what I do, Sunday by Sunday. I come sometimes. You know, sometimes we come because we weigh these things. You know, well, you get home late from a Leafs game, and so you decide to sleep in, or maybe the house needs to be clean, so you decide not to come to church, or maybe some of the guys want to play golf on Sunday morning, so. And sometimes it's like this, that we choose between this and that, weighing out our options. Do I come for God, or do I get a little extra sleep? And our attitude is, do you know that word? Meh. Everybody does, meh. Like this attitude of, you know, indifference or boredom or disinterest. It'll just, you know, it's like a shrug of shoulders. Like, yeah, it's okay. Like, not really that awesome, exciting. I can take it or leave it. And if we have that attitude towards corporate worship, what it conveys a sickness in our souls. It tells us that we have been seduced by the false gods of the world that, in a sense, put the little trinkets, the little distractions of the world against who we are and what we're called to do and what we're doing here today. What's more valuable? C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, perhaps you've heard this quote. He said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Today, in corporate worship, as the people of God, here we are at the holiday at the sea. The beauty, the greatness of who God is and what he has for us as we gather. And who is he? Let's think about that together. God, the God we come to, is the infinite, the eternal, the everlasting Almighty God, the ever-present God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who needs nothing. He's complete, and he calls us to worship him. The God who is the creator, who conceived all of this, who made all of it, designed all of it, you, me, gave us life. This God who sustains it all, sustains us, calls us to worship him. And so here we are. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Just 2 weeks ago was Resurrection Sunday. And every Sunday we gather is another remembrance of the resurrection. It's the Lord's Day. We come. And isn't this better than 2 extra hours of sleep? Better than a clean house? Better than a round of golf on a nice Sunday morning? Better than 11 kilograms of shiny gold stuff in your hands? Nothing compares to what we have here today. And so our response, Sunday morning comes, excitement, anticipation, hunger for God, because there's nothing like this on the earth. And Psalm 95 says this, this call from the psalmist says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. He knows something. Come on, let's do this. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are his people, the people of his pasture. We're the sheep of his hand. There's nothing like this anywhere else on earth. Nothing is more important than worship. We were made for this. Let's talk about what worship is. To worship is to ascribe ultimate worth to God, who is the highest and the greatest. This is what we're called to do. We're called to ascribe ultimate worth to him who is the ultimate, who is the highest and the greatest. The greatest thing you could ever give your breath for, the greatest thing you could ever give your attention to, the greatest thing you could ever give your energy to. To worship is to bow before him in reverence, adoration, and submission, who is God, a consuming fire. And to worship is to give our minds attention, our hearts affection, and our total allegiance to him. What a beautiful thing it is that we can say, Lord, we are yours. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nothing is like this in the world. And so what does God say to us about our worship gathering today? What is God looking for as we gather? You know, sometimes we ask the question, and the whole idea of church shopping, I'm looking for a certain kind of church. And we say, well, what do I want in a church? What do I want in corporate worship? The reality is we need to be asking the question, what is God looking for? Because he's here. We are here for him today. God is looking for worshipers who will worship him. What is God looking for? I want you to look at this and let's read this together. Next slide, if you could, please. Sunday Matters. Keep going. One more. And we'll stop there. I'm going to read this to you. It says, Sunday Matters. We gather to proclaim the greatness of God, exalt the name of Jesus, and welcome the transforming work of the Holy Spirit through our singing, praying, learning, and fellowship as we stir up one another to love and serve the Lord. And so to unpack this morning what we're going to talk about in terms of corporate worship, this. I want to look at two questions. What is corporate worship? First of all, what is corporate worship? And then second, what should our corporate worship look like? Let's look at the first one. What is corporate worship? First thing is that corporate worship, I think we have a slide for this, is part of a greater whole. It's part of a greater whole. I'll explain that in a minute. To rightly understand corporate worship, what we're doing here this morning is to see it in a context of a lifestyle of worship. We were created to respond to God in all his worthiness, in all that we are, all that we do, all the time, in all of life. Sometimes we think that worship is limited to Sunday, one segment of life. It's not that way. 168 hours a week, we do this for 90 minutes. It is not that way. It's the entire Christian life. It's not just something we do one day a week, but all the time. You're worshiping all the time. Someone has said that worship is loving God in the details of life. Where you go, what you do all the time, when you sleep, when you wake, at work, at school, all the time. Because we are seeking to live a life that honors him all the time. All of life is worship. And our private worship and our public worship and our corporate worship, three pieces of what makes up our whole life, form this continuous, seamless flow of giving glory to God all the time. And this life of worship can be segmented in these three parts, the private, our public, and our corporate. Our private worship is your time with the Lord every day. It's when you come to the Lord. In Mark chapter 1:35, it says what Jesus very early in the morning got up and he left the house and he prayed. And so we grow in our times, in our private times. And then we go into the world. We live our worship out. It says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What a beautiful thing. And this interplay of our private worship, our spending time in the presence of Jesus, offering ourselves, and then our public living our worship out, shining our light so that others could see Christ through us, leads us to this part here, our corporate worship, where we come together to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And as vital as spending time with the Lord is personally, and as crucial as letting our light shine in the world is, David Mathis writes this. He says about what we're doing today, he says, this is the peak. Corporate worship is the peak. He says, we were made to worship Jesus together among the multitude with the great horde of people, swallowed up in the magnificent mass of the redeemed. Listen, he says, God didn't fashion us to enjoy him finally as solitary individuals, but as happy members of a countlessly large family. He says, we were made for corporate worship. And so we can trade this 11 kilograms of gold, a clean house or a golf game, or this, no comparison. And so this rhythm, this six-day rhythm of privately worshiping, living it out publicly, day in, day out, comes to right here, to right now, what we get to do, where we pour out ourselves together as the family of God, all that the Lord's been doing. And the Bible says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. What you are doing, do you realize what you're doing right now, what we're doing, in a form differently than they would have done it 2,000 years ago, is what the early church was doing. The joy of coming together as God's people to sit under his word, to be together, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and to grow. That's what the church was doing. They were zealous in their coming to praise God. They were zealous and filled with joy. And so we get to pour out our love, pour out our gratitude, pour out our burdens, pour out our brokenness when we come here today, as you've been led in prayer, hearing the word, and you're being changed and you're being transformed by God. What a beautiful thing. And corporate worship is to celebrate all that God has done for us in Christ. Sundays will never get old because we are remembering that we were sinners under the wrath of God, and God sent his son on our behalf to give us eternal life and to forgive us. That is our story. That's our song. And so in our times of gathering, we sing of and we speak of and we preach about the greatness of God. That's worship. And we sing of and we preach about the greatest name of all, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. And we welcome and we yield to the great transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And as we do this together, guess what happens? Hebrews 10 says this, that we stir one another up to love and good deeds. We encourage each other, and we are filled with encouragement through the ministry of each other. So I want you to see that there's nothing like this anywhere else on earth. There's no lecture, there's no music, there's no event, no matter how great the celebration, no matter what your sports team is, no matter your favorite musical artist, there's nothing that you can do that ever compares to what you have right here, right now, in the family of God. Wayne Grudem writes this. He says, because worship glorifies God and fulfills the purpose for which God created us, he says, it is an activity of eternal significance and great value. Do you realize what's in your hands? An activity of eternal significance and great value. And what we do here this morning, week by week, is not only just for here, for right now, it is a glimpse of, a foretaste of heaven. Just take a minute and just, you know, turn your head, look around at the people here. Go ahead. Don't look at me for a second. Just look at each other, these beautiful people, these wonderful people. What we are doing is we're celebrating a foretaste of being with each other millions upon millions forever. The family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God before the throne and before the Lamb in worship. First thing is Sunday matters. Corporate worship is part of the greater whole. The second thing we need to see about corporate worship is delighting in the God who is delighting in us. Delighting in the God who is delighting us. What do I mean by that? We come here to draw near to God, and the Bible says that when we do that, he draws near to us. The Lord meets us by his grace, by his spirit in this place. In the Old Testament, believers had limited access to God's presence. That was only through the work of the priest once a year. He could only go into the Holy of Holies just one time a year. And even then, the ceremonies and the rituals really were a separation from God's people to himself. But in Jesus, that curtain of separation has been removed. At his death, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The way was made through to the very presence of the throne of God, to his very presence. And we can come through Christ anytime as people of the new covenant to the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 10:19 says, we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us. Then the writer to the Hebrews says, let us draw near. When you came here this morning, that's what you're doing. Sure, you came to a place. Sure, you came to a school. But you are drawing near to the very presence of God, the throne of God, through Christ. Grudem says this, this is the reality of new covenant worship. It actually is worship in the presence of God, though we do not see him with our physical eyes. You realize that? We are in the presence of God right now. We're not just rehearsing. This isn't just going through the motions. This isn't a powerless ritual. We're in the presence of God, as it were before the face of God, even though we can't see him. And we're transformed. We come here to hear his voice. We come here to experience his grace. And we need this, don't we? We need this. We need this all the time. Because we were made for this. We were made for an encounter with God. We were made for a growing relationship with God. We were made to know him and then to make him known. We need this fresh touch from God. I think about my own life. Think about where you've been the last 6 days. Because we sang this already. Our eyes have been in the wrong place. We need our eyes refocused. Our prone to wander hearts have been led astray to pursue other things. Our affections have been shaped more by Facebook than being in the book that grows our faith. And so we need to be here. We need to get our eyes fixed on Jesus again. The fire that's in our heart burns down because of the coldness and the distractions of the world. David Mathis says that worshiping together plays an indispensable role in rekindling our spiritual fire and keeping it burning. You need to be here. We need to be here. We need to be delighting in this God. We need him to light that fire again in us. And in this God we delight. David, Psalm 27, delighted more than anything else to dwell in God's presence. He said, I want to be in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. It was the fullness of joy for him. In Christ are unsearchable riches. And so we say, Lord, give me more joy. Lord, there's nothing greater than you. Psalm 73:25 says, there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Don't you feel that? Don't you feel your affections being pulled this way and that way and to love that thing and to chase after that thing and to put your attention on that thing more than anything else? This is the thing. He is the thing. And what we do together today focuses us and fuels our hearts and fires our affections for Christ again. Amen? Amen. Oh, the delight of our Savior, the joy of his presence, and we need this. But in corporate worship, we're not the only ones that are delighting in the perfections of God and the beauty of our Savior and what he did for us on the cross. The Bible says that God is delighting in us. Our Father delights in his church. He delights in his sons and his daughters. He loves you. He set his love upon you. He smiles upon us. He rejoices over his people. How do we know that? Psalm 149 says this, let Israel rejoice in their maker. That's us delighting in God. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Then, Psalm goes on to say, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Do you know God this morning is delighting in this gathering? He's delighting in this gathering. His son is magnified. His people have come together to glorify him, to set their hearts and their eyes upon him. The Father is filled with joy today because his children are drawing near to him in faith and loving him. And Sunday matters. This corporate worship is delighting in the God who delights in us. The third thing we need to see is that corporate worship is vertical and horizontal. Vertical means this, obviously, that we are looking to the Lord. We're here to gather to Christ. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. If you have your Bibles, let's look at that text together. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writes to the church, he says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody," say this with me, "to the Lord, with your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything," say it with me, "to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Our pursuit this morning is Christ. We're pursuing Christ. We're looking to him, focused on him. We're not just singing about the Lord in a third person as if we're telling a story about someone who lived long ago. We are singing to the Lord. That's what the text says. Making melody to the Lord. When you sang this morning, when the team led us and played, when we prayed, we were praying to the Lord, singing to the Lord, not just about the Lord. And our singing is to the Lord, first person. He's present. He's the audience of one. And our vertical worship ascends, the Bible says, as a fragrant offering to him. It says this in Hebrews 13, 15. "Through him, Jesus, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name." When you come here, when you sing, when you worship, when you pray, what this does is this is a fragrant offering that ascends to the very throne of God. Our pursuit is Christ. That's what we do in the vertical. And then horizontally, let's flip back or flip ahead to Colossians chapter 3, the verse that was read earlier for us. Colossians chapter 3, 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing," who? Say it with me. "One another, in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God." And then in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, flip ahead a few pages, go to the right, another 10 pages, couple of pages. Hebrews 10, 24 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another," And so there's vertical worship where we are pursuing the face and the heart of God, but there's a horizontal aspect to our corporate worship as well, where we are encouraging, teaching, admonishing, stirring one another up. We need this together. You see, our faith is not a solo effort. This is not just me and Jesus. This is me and you, us and Jesus together. What a beautiful thing in an individualistic culture when God gives us this gift of the church and relationships and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that love the Lord and are pursuing the Lord like you are, and that we get to encourage one another. We're not doing discipleship alone. We're following Jesus together. And there is strength in this community. Don Whitney writes this. He says, "There's an element of worship in Christianity that cannot be experienced in private worship or by watching worship, TV, bedside Baptist worship." Some of you are getting that. Bedside Baptist. He says, "There are some graces and blessings that God gives only in meeting together with other believers." You know, there's something that you only receive when you're here with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And week in and week out and year in and year out, what does this do? This shapes, this forms and transforms your life so that you become more and more like Jesus. There is a grace that God pours upon us in this place as we gather faithfully. Is there a diagram there, guys, with the arrows? There is. So, here we go. The worship team, we did this, didn't we, last week? Is this what yours look like? All right, that was just kind of an inside joke. So here's what I've just been saying. Here we gather to give to God. We come to offer our lives and offer our praise to the Lord. We come to do that. But What happens is that we receive from God, that he's pouring out his love, his grace into our lives. He's speaking to us. He's changing us. He's transforming. And together, these little arrows, it's not just me. It's all of us, this time of corporate offering to him. But on the horizontal axis, I'm here to give to you, and you're here to give to me, and we're here to give to each other. And that we receive blessing and grace from each other by the Spirit, just as we offer that offering to the Lord. And if I could extend this a little bit, there would be another dot, dot, dot arrow here, and a dot, dot, dot arrow here, because this horizontal aspect of our worship doesn't stop at 11:30. Because you're going to go somewhere today. You're going to go to be with family and friends. And tomorrow morning, you're going to go to school and you're going to go to work. And this, what has happened, dot, 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 sends you to the places that God sends you to be those worshipers, to be those witnesses, to help people to come to know Jesus personally through your words and through your life. And so what happens here just doesn't stop here. It extends. And God builds his kingdom, and he builds you, and he grows you stronger. Amen? Amen. So we come here for these reasons. And in corporate worship, God is working in us. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, what's happening is we are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed, metamorphosized, changed from the inside out into the same image." What same image? The image of Christ. You're being made more like Jesus when you're here, from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so in this, Christ is magnified. And in this, we are edified. And through us, God sends us into the world. So how do we grow to become more like Jesus? Lots of ways. But here's a big one, and it's happening right here, right now. Being here week by week is a big one. And where do we find fuel for the fire? Where do you find strength for the journey that's tough? Where do you find encouragement? Right here, being here week by week. Sunday matters. Corporate worship is part of the greater whole. Corporate worship is delighting in the God who delights in us, and corporate worship is vertical and horizontal. And that as a foundation for why we're here. Second point I want to share with you is, so what should our corporate worship look like? What should characterize what we do on a Sunday morning? And I want to give you a number of words as we say, what is God looking for when his people worship him? What does God want? Here's six words that I want to give you quickly that'll help us to live out corporate worship in a way that brings glory to God. The first one is faithful. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some." That wasn't just true of first century Christianity, was it? Some who were neglecting to meet. It's true in our culture. People come, people don't come, don't see them for a while. You being here weekly, regularly matters, that we are not neglecting to meet together. There's a guy that I had a chance to see yesterday. I was speaking at a conference. And there was a guy that came to Christ. His name is Elrond. And he was a new believer. He'd had a pretty tough background. But every time the doors opened up, he was there. It was a prayer meeting, he was there. Men's ministry, he was there. He was coming to church. He was hungry to grow. And I watched the trajectory of his life be proportional, the growth of his life be proportional to his attendance at church. If the doors were open, he was there. He was hungry and he needed Christ. He needed fellowship. He needed men around him. Today, he is an elder of that church. And in fact, he told me yesterday that he's becoming a pastor of the church. So from where I saw him 10 years ago, he was hungry for God, and God has changed him in such a great way that he stepped into leadership as the Lord opened the door. And so we need to be here. You being here matters faithfully. And I get that there's shift work, and I get there's the occasional trip to grandma's house that you need to drive there a few hours. I know there's snowstorms, maybe not so much here, but for sure where I live. But barring those things, faithful, regular attendance, and Pastor Kesavan didn't tell me to say this, by the way. Faithful, regular attendance, putting God first, putting this as the highest priority of your week is absolutely essential. You need it. Your kids need it. And the church around you needs it. Remember the horizontal? And God deserves it. The first word is faithful. Be here faithfully. Second one is eager. I'm eager to be here. You're not just here because someone dragged you here because your mom or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife expects you to be here. You're not here to check a box to fulfill some obligation. You're not just here because this is what Christians do. You're here because there's great joy. I get to go to church on Sunday. Woo! More than our holiday starts in 2 weeks. Can't wait to get on that cruise. You know, as the time goes on, the excitement builds. This is your time of excitement. I get to go to church tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday. Come on, we're going. Come on, kids. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Come on. Saturday night, next week. Husband, say to your wife, come on. We're rejoicing. We get to go to the house of the Lord tomorrow. Kids, come on. Rejoice. We're going to the house of the Lord tomorrow. Eager. I can't wait for Sunday. This is the best day of the week. I'm anticipating what God's going to do. I'm anticipating being with God and with God's people. Third word is reverent. And what are we here for? What are we doing? We are worshiping God. Not some distant force in the galaxy, not the man upstairs, not some kindly grandfather with a long white beard, some cobwebs growing off him. It's not who our God is. Hebrews 12, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God, you know what it says, is a consuming fire. What are we doing here? We're worshiping that God. Coming into the presence of the eternal, almighty God who is holy, holy, holy. The sovereign king who rules over everything unchallenged, rules over all principalities and powers, all in his control. That God calls us to worship him. Why do we come? To God, our Redeemer, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to rise again, to wash us, to make us new and to give us eternal life. That's why we come. We come reverently. We approach God with reverence and awe. He deserves our deepest devotion. Not lip service, not ritual, not going through the motions. Church, Fellowship Church, Rouge Park, give to God acceptable worship from the heart. The fourth word is this, joyful. Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 95, verse 1 says. Come before him with joyful songs. Worship is emotional. Somewhere along the way, we've been led to believe that emotions are bad. Canadians are bad at being too polite and too reserved. Don't be reserved. Be joyful. Be emotional. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Let your emotions out. Emotions are gifts from God. And so be joyful in worship and celebrate him. They're good. This is a joyful occasion. The word joy in the book of Psalms appears 49 times. You think Sundays? Think joy. You think corporate worship? Think joy. You think being here with God's people? Think joy. Corporate worship is a joyful gathering of God's glad people. That's what we do. We're joyful because Christ is alive, because we're going to heaven, because he's in control, because our sins are forgiven, because he loves us, because his power is in us, because he's changing the world. I heard stories this morning. Pastor Keith Savannah and I were talking. He goes, I want to tell you about a person. And telling me stories and miracles. God is at work in your fellowship, changing lives. And I see 20 blue seats that are empty. That's pretty exciting. Because there's going to be new people that are sitting in these seats. And each of those people is going to be a story that's going to make you glad and rejoice because God is at work. Joyful. Fifth word is active. Corporate worship is a verb. It's something we do. It's not something that's done for us. It's not something we sit passively by and observe. It's something we are rolling up our sleeves. You're in the choir. You're the worship choir. Psalm 63 says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so I will bless you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands, my voice, my hands, my heart, my mind. I'm engaged. Corporate worship is physical. It's participatory. You matter. Your participation, your engagement, your doing matters. We're not just here to watch the four or five people up here do their thing. No, no, no. They're just prompting us and encouraging us and saying, come on, let's do this together. We together worshiping the Lord. We're singing with gusto. We're clapping in honor of the Lord. We're raising our hands as an outward expression of what's going on in our heart to exalt Christ. We're bowing before him our heart's posture, sometimes physically kneeling before the Lord in honor of his greatness. Sometimes we dance. I don't know if you dance. Do you dance? We don't all dance. The Bible says we can dance. Maybe that's where the back, there's a nice back area there for dancing. Children, moms, dads, children, and dancers, right at the back. There we go. Why? Because we're filled with love and gratitude to the Lord. And finally, the sixth word is generous. Generous. Christian worship can be summarized in this one word. Ready for the word? There you go. Offering. Offering is the word. Christian worship can be summarized by the word offering. Singing, giving, kneeling, praying, finances, all of that comes under the umbrella of the word offering. Genesis 22 is the first time in the Bible that the word worship is used. Remember Abraham in Genesis 22? What did he do? First time the Bible uses the word worship is in the context of Abraham offering his son. He was giving everything, the thing that he loved most in the world, the thing he had waited many, many years for, his son, this promise, Isaac, fulfilled. Come on, he's 13 years old. God says, lay him down on the altar, give him to me. That was the context of worship. Abraham gave his everything. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of God giving his son. Why? So that we could be here in his presence and be changed. Worship, Abraham, the cross, now us. What should Sunday morning look like? This generous offering, not stingy, like the costly perfume that was poured at Jesus' feet, this lavish outpouring before the Lord. This is what is to characterize us, an offering, a generous offering, because God is a good and generous God. How did God give? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. What did he give? He gave us this gift of eternal life through Christ. That's God's gift to you. What's your gift in response to him? It's generous. It's wholehearted. It's lavish. It's abundance. It's giving us, Romans 12, all that we are. So what should corporate worship look like? Faithful, reverent, active, eager, joyful, and generous. Let me ask you this question personally. Are these words true of you? Do these words characterize you as a worshiper? Are you faithful? Are you eager? Are you reverent? Are you joyful? Are you engaged? Are you generous? Is this how you approach Sunday morning? Is this how you come? This is the kind of church and worship that God wants to see. This is the kind of people and the response that he is worthy of. And does this describe the kind of fellowship that you want to be part of? I guarantee this. This is a place that is contagious. Because this is what God deserves. Sunday matters. We come here so that Christ will be magnified, that we will be edified, and that the people who don't know Jesus around us, whether they sit here or live in the neighborhood, will encounter the transforming power of the gospel. And having gathered here, come into this place and gathered here, then God sends us. And he scatters us everywhere that he sends us to, everywhere we go. We are gathered to be scattered. We come here to be sent back into this world to live for Christ, to point them to the Savior. So church, above all, God matters. Worship matters, Sunday matters. And so, Fellowship Church Rouge Park, let's be about this. Let's live and worship before the Lord who deserves it all. And then we give glory to him in everything with our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before you in your presence and thank you for Jesus, Lord, the reason for it all, that we can be here to come and to draw near and to be before you in your presence. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who has changed and is changing our lives. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed and cleansed us. And Lord, we thank you, God, our Father, for your heart of love, that somehow, Lord, in the mystery of your will, you chose us, you set us apart, you set your love upon us, unworthy sinners. Lord, from eternity past, you knew who we would be, you knew that we would need a Savior, and you sent Christ to die for us. And so now, Lord, we give you worship. We say praise to you, Lord the Almighty. We say, God, you are worthy of it all. Lord, we give you the adoration of our lives. Lord, forgive us for where we let you down, for where our worship is weak and apathetic. God, where we would prefer and desire the bar of gold more than being with you, more than being here. Lord, the trinkets of this world that so tantalize us are worth nothing in comparison to the greatness of who you are. The pearl of great price, the treasure in the field is Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd stir us up, you'd stir up the fire and the passion in our lives to give you what you deserve, our everything, our all, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for the wonderful people here. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the pastoral team, the elders. Oh God, let this place be on fire for the glory of God as your Spirit works in all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Stand and respond to God together.